You're listening to Sounds Good on Murray State's NPR station, WKMS. We're online at WKMS.org. I'm Tracy Ross, joined in the studio now by Chad Lampe and Lainey Mitchell. Lainey, thanks for taking time to join us on Sounds Good today.
My pleasure.
Lainey and I are here to talk about some early childhood music classes, and it's a really interesting opportunity that we can talk about a little bit later about a specific opportunity in Murray, but I think it's important that we learn a bit more about early childhood music education. And Lainey, a music teacher in and around the Murray community, working here at Murray State, also volunteering with Playhouse in the Park at Murray High School, just a familiar face in Murray in the music scene, if you want to put it that way. Tell me a bit about early childhood music classes, where you started with this project.
Okay, well, when we first moved here in 2007, I noticed that I thought there was a need for a community music program. And so I started asking around and see if anything was going on, and not a whole lot was going on. So I'd been teaching early childhood music for probably 20 years. And it's just in my blood. So I just said, I have to start doing this. I want to do this in the community. So I kind of did my own advertising and found a space and started just sharing the word with other parents about what I do. And it's basically 45 minutes of pure music making with parents and their children. And our classes are from birth to 4 or 5 year olds. And it's just an immersion into music. And it's kind of nice that we kind of have, the parents have to put their to-do lists, you know, out of their brain, because we're just making music totally for 45 minutes. So that's kind of where I started with the idea of it in here in Murray. It actually did start back when our son was born 11 years ago, almost, in South Dakota. I started a program there because I had taught so many kids before he was born, and then here I have a baby, and I thought, I want my child to have the same opportunity too. So we kind of did the same thing, where I just kind of developed my own program in that community.
And so in early childhood, you said, is from like 0 to age 4, and then, you know, in pop culture, you hear about folks putting headphones on their womb for the fetus to hear music. But which came first? Did the early childhood music education come before the idea of immersing your child in music while in the womb?
Well, that's a good question. We're calling it early childhood music education, but it's been going on for centuries. Mm-hmm. As long as a mom has been singing, then she's been influencing and helping her child's music development, because we know from research that children are able to hear, fetus can hear in the last trimester of a woman's pregnancy. So really, if the mom is singing or reading a book out loud, they are already developing their child's musicianship from the last trimester when the auditory system is all in place. So that actually does happen first. But the study of it is a little bit more complicated, because there's some research going on in Australia where they are doing somewhat might consider this invasive, you know, and to try to figure out how a fetus is really learning. But it's been happening for probably a good 20 years that they've been studying prenatal music. So let me get back on track here. Yes, studies have been going on in early childhood music for quite a long time, but it's still unknown really what's specifically going on prenatally. But as soon as a child is born, their music aptitude is at its peak. And aptitude is really not what a child can do already, but what they have the potential for doing. So we can start really influencing that and affecting that right from birth. And there's really so much brain research out there showing us that right from birth up till until a child's about 9 or 10, we can have an influence on their music ability, their aptitude. So, and as they get older, it starts to be a little bit more complicated. It's starting to, the brain passages, the neurons are forming as they get older. So you have less of an influence as they get older.
Do you have can you cite any like longitudinal research from children that participated in an early childhood music education class and their music I guess, achievements later on in life?
I can't really cite them off the top of my head, but there are certainly ones out there. I was part of a study back in Michigan, where I did my graduate work at Michigan State University in East Lansing, where we pre-tested them, children who were 4 through 8 year olds, and pre-tested them with a really reliable music aptitude test, taught them for a year using the methods that Edwin Gordon has recommended, and then post-tested them. And we found a greater influence, a greater increase in their music aptitude with the younger children than we did with the older children. Now, where those kids are today, I wish I knew. I also taught in the Lansing area in a school district called Hazlitt, Michigan. And this is kind of just an anecdotal study where I had taught them 96 to 98, and we pre-tested them and post-tested them, found the same thing. The greater impact is on the younger children. But then 10 years later, we are still in touch with the current choir director there. He's got a wonderful choir, won all kinds of state awards. And he told me 10 years down the road, he said, "I knew what you're doing was good in the early childhood program, but now I can see what you've done." Mm-hmm. Because all those kids that I taught were then in his high school choir, and he was benefiting from all the work that I didn't really see until, I saw on paper. But then down the road, 10 years down the road, is when you hear and see the results of the work you've done in early childhood. So it's it was really nice to hear that from him, that he couldn't believe the musicianship level of the kids who were now in his high school. So that's 10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of studies that say, being part of a music program or studying music in any way improves so many different parts of the brain, memory. Children and students who participate in music programs do better on their SATs. They have less chances of being involved in criminal activities, alcohol abuse, substance abuse. They have higher graduation rates. There's so many different parts of our lives that it impacts that we don't even realize being part of a music program.
Yeah, and it's basically 4 weekly classes throughout the month of June.
Yeah.
Right, and these are specifically going to be here in Murray. Mm-hmm. What happens at one of these classes?
Well, typically it's 45 minutes of music making. Parents come in, and it's not always just moms. There's oftentimes dads are involved. And we sit in a circle and we start making music. I sing lots of songs and we do lots of movement. Children get to, we have lots of props, so they get to participate in that way with scarves or bean bags or sticks or rhythm shakers, or bells, balls, and all kinds of stuff like that. Within that 45 minutes, I probably do about 18 activities. Mm-hmm. So it keeps moving pretty quickly. We move, probably 2 or 3 minutes we spend on one activity. And children can attend for that long. I mean, infants can attend for 45 minutes. I could probably count on one hand how many times a child has maybe fallen asleep, but they can really attend for that long. Now, parents and myself, we do much of the singing. Mm-hmm. So we are immersing them in this musical environment. Lots of times kids will get in the car and they'll start singing along or humming along, and their parents are, "Why didn't you do that in class?" But they're taking it in, and that's totally appropriate for what they do in that class.
There are some really interesting aspects of the story, or some of the frequently asked questions that people have about this class, and one of them is that some of the adults have trouble singing some of the songs, and you mentioned that people have we're used to listening to major tonality in duple meter, and that we have duple baggage. What is duple baggage?
Well, sometimes if I introduce a song in a different tonality, parents start to get a frown on their face. They're looking at me like, that's hard. That's a tricky song for me, because it might be in a different tonality. Because we have what was mentioned as baggage, so much of what we hear on the radio is in major tonality, not all, mm-hmm. especially not on this station. We listen to such a rich variety of music. but a lot of what we hear is in major tonality, meaning it's based on the do, re, mi scale. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what we, in terms of meter, the rhythmic aspect of it is it's duple meter. One, two, one, two, dun, 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 dun. And so for some reason, people think that hearing things in triple meter is difficult for kids. It's not.
What does triple meter
Triple meter means it moves in threes, mm-hmm. like a waltz. Mm-hmm. One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, mm-hmm. one, two, three. But there's lots of music, especially in jazz and in Greek culture, in some Eastern European cultures, you hear music in different meters, in 7/8, in 5/8. So... One, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, ba 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 ba. And when kids hear that, it's new to them. Everything is new to them. Mm-hmm. So it's not, they don't know that it's odd or difficult or it's supposed to be strange. So we immerse them in different meters as well in my classes. So parents want to be able to keep that steady beat so bad. So sometimes I have to say to them, just listen. Take it in just as your child's taking it in. Don't feel like you have to keep the beat. Just, you know, take it in. So
there's a lot of interesting, there are many interesting aspects to this class, too many for us to get into
right.
today. But the class is at the First Presbyterian Church
yes.
here in Murray, and it's through June. How can people sign up for this class?
They can email me. We can put that maybe on the website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And or give me a call and let me know that they're interested in signing up. I typically do each semester. I typically do 9 classes a semester, mm-hmm. but we're doing a summer session, so it's just 4 weeks in June, and it's on Thursdays at 9 a.m. So
and
we have room.
If you'd like to learn more about this, you can see this interview and learn more about this program at WKMS.org. Lainey Mitchell is a music educator in Murray, and it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thanks so much, Chad.